all right, that I believe are going to be a great blessing to you. Exodus chapter 4. I gave you Matthew 23, but I want you to read Exodus chapter 4. All right? That is your ministry.
Hallelujah.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "They will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto thee.'" So most of us, in our lives and our ministries, this is the response to your calling. They will not believe us. And they will say, "God has not appeared to you." Is it not true? So how are you going to overcome that? And the Lord said, "What is that in thine hand?" Okay? And he said, A rod. And he said, "Cast it down on the ground," and it became a serpent. "Put forth thine hand," and he took it by the tail. You know the story of Moses. "Put your hand into your bosom, and it shall come to pass, if they don't believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign." And it goes on. But I want you to notice verse 17. And he says, Exodus 4:17, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." So God does not give you a ministry without giving you something in your hand to do signs.
Wow.
"So thou shalt take this rod, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Amen. And Moses is an example of Jesus. So he was given a rod. "Hold this in your hand like this. And this is your master key."
Wow.
"This thing is what you are going to use to do signs and wonders. And you will overcome all the things you said in verse 1, where you said, 'They will not listen to me. They will not believe me. They will say God has not appeared to me. They will not hearken to me.'" It has happened to all of us. They will not believe you. They don't say God has called you. God is answering you. Nothing. You know? But if you will take what God has given into your hand, you are going to have the master key. All right. So now, I want us to go into what is this master key that we need to have. What is the rod in our case? What is the rod? Are you with me?
Yes.
What is the rod that God is putting in our hands? Amen. Wherewith we shall be able to do great things for God. Are you listening to me? "Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Amen. And that takes us back to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 36. "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All the word of God, all the supernatural blessing, all the promises of God for your ministry hang on this thing. "Thou shalt take this rod, wherewith thou shalt do signs." On this one thing hang all the law and the prophets. You see, all the prophets and the blessings you know, that are in the Word of God. All hang on one thing. They hang on your love for God. They hang on your love for God. Everything is hanging on your love for God, your personal love for God. All the law and the prophets, all prophecies about your prosperity, all prophecies about your greatness, all prophecies about miracles, all prophecies of church growth, hang on one thing. It says the whole law and the prophet hang on this one thing. In other words, they are all connected to it. That's why Moses, God told Moses, take this rod. I'm putting one thing in your hand. This is your master key. And the master key on which everything depends. All prophecies. The Lord shall deliver you. He will be with you in trouble. He will save you. I mean, he will bless you. I will multiply you. You will not be few. I mean, all the prophecies given shall be given to you. Good measure, press. All hang on this one thing. Your love for God. God will protect you. God will deliver you. It hangs. When you say it hangs, it's hanging on it. It's depending on it. So if you don't have love for God, you are not going to see much of the law and the prophets being fulfilled. The law and the prophets is the entire, you see, when you, all the things you see, I will bless thee. Your name shall be great. You shall do this. A thousand shall fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. All these things hang on the law and the prophets. It hangs on the love, your love for God. Let's read it again. Please, by the way, just a quick announcement. Nobody should close your eyes in front of me. Do not close your eyes and sit here. You cannot do that. If you do that, I will have to ask you to leave, no matter who you are. All right? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hang. Every promise of God hangs on this thing. It's hanging on it. You shall love the Lord your God. It's hanging on it. Put it down and you have nothing. Nothing works. That's why the Bible says faith works by love. Your faith in God works by and through your love for Him. If you don't love God, nothing works as it should work. If they say this car works by petrol, and you go and pour in cooking oil or olive oil, and the thing works by petrol, you have poured in olive oil, don't be surprised if the car doesn't work normally again. Okay? John 14. John 14. John 14 and verse 21. What does it say?
John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments.
He that hath my commandments.
And keepeth them.
Yes.
He it is that loveth me.
He is the one who loves me.
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father.
He that loves me shall be loved of my Father.
And I will love him and will manifest myself.
I will love him. And will manifest. Manifest. Manifestations happen in the lives of God lovers. And that's why there are no manifestations in many of our lives. There are no manifestations. Where are the manifestations of God's power, church growth, financial blessing, prosperity? Where are the manifestations of God's deliverance, God's protection, God's help? Where are the manifestations of all these things? These things, Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is the one who loves me. Remember, we said that all the laws and all prophecies and all promises hang on one thing, that is you loving God. You can't change it. And if you love God, if you have the commandment and you keep his command, you obey him, you are a God lover. And he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And then I also, Jesus Christ, will love him and manifest myself to him. That is why we are not having manifestations. You know, I am not an American. I don't come from America. And our ministry is not from America. We are from Ghana, one of the poorest countries in the world. We have come here. It's a manifestation of God's power. Yes. Because we shouldn't be able to come here. Why don't you try to come to Ghana? Yes. Come with your crusade and your trucks and your cars. Come and hold a campaign. Or come and hold 10 campaigns. Even from here to Kwekwe, you cannot go for crusade. Yes. Yes. So, the crusade you are seeing is a manifestation. Yes, it's a manifestation of so many things. Yes. So, you must believe in the element of God's love. Loving God. Faith works. Your faith, your protection, your blessing, finances, everything works by and through love for God. On this hang all the law. All. When you see certain things, they are manifestations of loving God. And what does it mean to love God? Very simple. God has not made it mystical. He that has my commandment and keeps my commandment. Obey God. Whatever he says to you, do it. Amen. There is a verse that all of us use when there is a funeral or something bad happens. Is that not so? That verse is what? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for those who, not for Christians, for those who love God. You see, things work together for good, not for everybody. But for those who love God, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. You must become a God lover, an obeyer of God's word. We keep on saying, oh, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together. But he's saying that all things work together for good to those who love God. You must love God. You must love the Lord. You must love the Lord with all your heart, with your soul. You must give him your heart. You must give him your soul. You must tell him you love him. And you must show that you love him. There's another verse which we love to quote that is like, you know, this is something wonderful God is going to do. It says, eye has not seen, when we are prophesying, Shabakabaya daraba, eye has not seen, Ibalaba son daraba, ear has not heard, brethren. Hey! Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has for those who love Him. Not for everybody. Eye has not seen, blessings are not for everybody. They are for those who love God. Go and read your Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:9. You want to read it for them?
But as it is written, eye had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Not for everybody. Not for all Zimbabwean pastors. Not for all churches. Not for all Christians. For them that love Him. Which means for those who are keeping His word and obeying Him. Alright? Now, Jesus said in Matthew 16, I want to go through a few of the key things which Jesus has told us to do. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 18.
Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
I will build my church.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Shall not prevail. Now, Jesus Christ is in a project to build His church. We are to build His church. This is what He is doing. He that has my commandment and keeps them, he is it that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will also love him. And I will come and manifest. I'll show my love. I'll show my love openly. We are not experiencing God's power and God's manifest love because His heart is not our heart. He said, I will build my church, a mega church. Many pastors would pass by this book and not even be interested. When you see a topic like this, your heart should start beating. I mean, Jesus' project, church will grow, and the church will be a mega church, and yet pastors will pass by this book and say, give me a chisanyama to eat rather than buying this book. True. I am a pastor, and I have a lot of pastors. Church planting. You don't care about it. When I drive to Zimbabwe, I don't see many church buildings. Maybe this church is an old church. What about newer churches? Are there no new churches? Huh? You don't want to start new ones? Where are the buildings? I say, as I drive to Zimbabwe, I don't see many churches. I've been driving through from Kadoma to Kwekwe, Gweru to Bulawayo, Victoria Falls, Big Bridge, Gwanda, Shishavani. Here we are seeing, I don't see many churches. That's all. Don't argue with me. I say I don't see. I have not seen them. Where are the buildings? Your heart should be panting after what God has made clear as His will. Yes, maybe this is what I want. This is what I like. This is what I'm doing. This is my project. My heart. You know, I've been a churchman since I found Jesus. I've come to see how much He loves His church. Yes, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail again. You know, when Jesus was going, He asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you like me? Feed my sheep. Sheep? He calls human beings sheep. If you love me, what it means to be a shepherd, we don't know, most of us don't know. The art of shepherding. How to shepherd somebody and feed people. This is his heart is beating like, he's looking at me as I'm talking to you. He's looking at me as I'm talking to you. Do you love me? Will you feed my sheep? Will your ministry be transformed to be a pastor who knows what he's doing and who knows how to be a masterful shepherd? I've seen many cows on the road dead. They are lying by the roadside. They are dead. You know, the difference between Zimbabwe and South Africa that I've seen on the road. In South Africa, I saw heads of cattle. Heads this year, not 17 years ago. This year. I was in South Africa this year doing crusades. Heads of cattle. You'll see hundreds and thousands of fat, growing cows. Color brown. In Zimbabwe, I see a few very thin cows. Hey! There are different shepherds in South Africa and different shepherds in Zimbabwe. Ghana cows are like the Zimbabwe cows. In Ghana, some cows look like very big goats. I tell you, if you are good shepherds, you see like how in South Africa the cows are many. A lot. If you are a good pastor and a good shepherd, your members will be a lot. The churches will be full. He calls the people sheep. He calls the people sheep. But you don't care. You don't care much about ministry. Even though you are called pastor, you use reverend as a post, a kind of prestigious, oh, I'm a reverend so and so. That's why you have pastors who are doing politics, pastors who are spies, pastors who are doing business. You don't have real time for sheep, caring for sheep and feeding the sheep. You're not interested in such things. How can the sheep be a lot? How can the flock increase? How can they increase and become like the South African ones? You see hundreds of color brown cows. Fat. You can see there's meat and milk. Hey! Unlike these lonely cows we see on the roadside. You see one walking alone without a shepherd. No one cares for him. He's all on his own. Very bony. Now, I've been even thinking, why don't people go and take those bony cows from the roadside and kill them and eat them before they die? Why don't you do that? Will it not help you? Why leave them to roam around till they are dead? But all the rivers are dried up. At least it's some meat. You see, our poor shepherding techniques lead to the sheep being very lean. Your members are poor, struggling. You people in Zimbabwe, you don't think that your country has more difficulty than anybody. You don't travel, that is why you are saying that. If you travel, you will see. Zimbabwe is normal Africa. All of Africa is like Zimbabwe. Yes, the whole of Africa is like Zimbabwe. That's how it is. Yeah. You know, we had independence in 1957. We are experienced in life in Africa. It's a long time ago. Yes. You are new. That is why you think you are struggling. There is no struggle in Zimbabwe. This is normal Africa. Yeah. You don't travel. That is why you don't know that even your country is 100 times better than many places in Africa. You don't know. You don't travel. You can ask him. He travels. This one. Travel and see. Your mind is on other things, not on the heartbeat of Jesus. That is why there's no manifestation of his power. That's why there's no manifestation of his blessing and his riches. Have you seen anybody serving God who has not become rich before? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. All these people, all of them flourished and were prospering. We don't love God. We don't love God. We don't love God. That's why we are not seeing things which you can say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Have I ever seen Healing Jesus campaign in, what's this place called? Mastringo. Have I ever seen it? No, eye has not seen it. This is an eye has not seen. This one is eye has not seen. Yeah. Eye has not seen. Trucks rolling in, trucks coming, stage, crusade. The whole city is gathering, city after city. Its eye has not seen, ear has never heard of such a thing before. It has not even entered into your heart. Yes. Eye has not seen. For those who love God. We are not here for money. We don't love money. Almost everything we are doing here, it's just a gift. We are spending money in Zimbabwe. We are not taking anything out of Zimbabwe. Yes. We know your difficulties. We came here. If we want to go to a place where there is a lot of money flowing around, there are more places. We have come here out of God's love. We are following the love that we have for God. And what God said to us, go into the world and preach the gospel. That's why you are poor. You are not obeying. You are not loving him. My church started in a classroom. But it's been transformed. And now I have many cathedrals to choose from. I can choose which one to go to. Many cathedrals. In many places. In many countries. I can choose which one. Yes. You may not know. Yeah, but you started in a classroom with a few people like this. Like 1, 2, 3, 4 rows like this. But we started with just 5 people. Going out witnessing, calling people, witnessing, bringing people like that. But you know, I wanted my ministry. I wanted to be a good shepherd. I always remember this scripture. Do you love me? You love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you like me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? I wanted to be the best pastor. I wanted to preach very well. Some of us don't have any vision to preach well. Your preaching is like a sleeping tablet. Your preaching can be described as Valium. It's like you are giving Valium, intravenous Valium to people. I wanted to feed my people until they become more and more like the cows I told in South Africa. More. Yeah. Transformation. This book is about how your ministry is transformed. That's why we are not making it. This one is about the art of hearing. Look, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. The most important, one of the most important scriptures on the power of direction and the power of being able to hear the voice of God.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high,
wow,
above all nations of the earth.
The Lord thy God will set thee
on high.
On high. Above.
All nations.
Above, not below, not the same. You can never be compared to other nations if you follow his, if you hearken to his voice. He says, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken, listen. That's why I wrote this book. And somebody asked me, if you ask what is the most important, I would say to me, the most important message is to hear God's voice and to obey it. This book says the art of hearing. How to hear his voice. Go. Do this. Do that. Very important to hear his voice. That's why we are not going up. He says the Lord will exalt you and you shall be above. But where are we? We are below. Feeding sheep is not important to you. Building a church is how you, it's not even in your heart. It's not even in your heart. That's why you will put such a book in front of pastors. They are not even interested. It's amazing. But you see, for me, building churches, having sheep, feeding them has been my passion. When I was 25 years old, I became a pastor. I was 25 years old. I became a pastor. By the time I was 29 years old, I had a cathedral. We bought a cinema, an old cinema hall, and I moved into that building. I was only 29 years old. I had my first cathedral. Yes. All my life I've been trying to feed people the word of God, teach people the word of God, and now I'm trying to evangelize and build more churches. More. This is what's in my heart. What he says to me, I don't have any vision to be rich, to have money, to have this, to do anything. But rather, as I follow him and I love him, it's that all the prophecies are happening practically. The most favorite scripture for me is second most favorite scripture. Favorite is John 3:16. Second favorite, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All things which people are dying for, people are fighting over, they will be given to you like this. That's why we don't have anything. When he speaks to you, you will not obey. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil.
Then was Jesus led off by the devil, isn't it?
No.
Jesus was led by the devil.
No.
Jesus was led by who?
The Spirit.
By the Spirit. To where? To Johannesburg. To Frankfurt.
No.
To New York.
No.
To America.
No.
To England.
No.
To the bank.
No.
He was led to where?
The wilderness.
Wilderness. By the what? By the Spirit. You see, if God speaks to you and tells you, go to wilderness, most of you will say, oh, wilderness. That is why African pastors rarely go and preach to other poor nations. Rarely will you. When you see, when an African pastor says,
God has opened a door for me, international ministry begins,
it means you are going to England or America. Isn't it true? Rarely do you see an African pastor saying, God has opened a door, I'm going to Togo. I'm going to Mali to preach. I'm going to Senegal. I'm going to Congo Brazzaville. I'm going to Tanzania, Dar es Salaam. No, Africa, but no. I'm going to New York. I'm going to Houston. I'm going to San Diego. God has opened the door. I'll be in New York on Friday. From New York, I'll be going to Boston. From Boston, I'll be in Germany. And from there, I'll pass through Tokyo. And then I'll be back in Harare on Friday. Wow. International ministry. That's when you will hear the voice of God. But when the Spirit leads you to the wilderness, wilderness, no. That is why we are poor. That's why we are poor. Jesus was never poor. Jesus was never in need till the last day of his ministry. He was never in need. That's why we are struggling. That's why we are preaching about money every day. All our topics are money, money. Pastors have become shameful motivational speakers. Shameful motivational speakers. Shameful. Shamefully have deteriorated from preaching the word of God to become business speakers at banks and speakers to businessmen and all kind of shameful deterioration of the gospel. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You put aside the word of God and you go into business and you go into all kinds of nonsense and you think you have matured. You have not matured. You have backslided, my friend. That's what you've done. You have backslided. And all these people, they don't have anything. They don't have, if you have money, show it. Show the money. You see people say, I'm the richest, whatever. You are nothing. Only debt. You have loans, debt. You don't have anything. All these people who can motivate, they have nothing. Empty, just empty shells. Theories. If you have money, show, build a church. Build the church. Preach the gospel. Let us see reality of using of money for God's work. Stop all these games. You are calling backsliding maturity. Somebody said to me, I preach basics. What do you mean by I preach? What is basics? The gospel, John 3:16 is basic. It's basic to you. Then you go and join another religion. Go and join another religion. John 3:16 is basic to you. It is law. Even when I preach the gospel, most pastors cannot preach what I'm preaching on stage. When I bring the topic, they are wondering what I'm going to say. You cannot. Pastors, we are so shameful. You hardly find a pastor witnessing. You see a man of God, he's witnessing to someone and leading someone to Christ and say, close your eyes, let me lead you to Jesus. Say this prayer after me. Pastors, it is as rare as seeing a lion in Mashwingo Edgar's shop. A lion is going shopping. It is as rare as finding a lion in town. Possible, but rare to find a lion walking on your street here in Mashwingo. with a basket trying to do shopping. Pastors witnessing, pastors leading people to Jesus. Even conventions, pastors have programs, they don't do altar calls. Huh? Look at me coming here to preach the gospel. I'm an ordinary pastor. I wouldn't even call myself an evangelist because I'm a pastor. But you see, a good shepherd leaves the 99 and comes to look for the one. So you can't tell whether I'm an evangelist or a shepherd. Because both evangelize. That's why Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist. That's why Jesus said, a good shepherd leaves 99 and goes to look for the lost. And an evangelist also looking for the lost. So even you can't tell what I am. I may either be an evangelist or a good shepherd. Both are doing the same work. On this hangs the law, the blessings, the prophecies, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, all the prophecies, all the blessings, all the hangs on, thou shalt love the Lord your God. When it's not there, when you don't obey, don't expect it. You can preach whatever motivational, whatever you want to preach. You are just a shame to the church. Go ye preach the gospel. And now you've turned into something that even secular unbelievers who don't believe in God, they are the ones you appeal to. How can it be that sinners who don't know Jesus Christ are the ones who are attracted to your ministry? Not to be born again. They're attracted to you for money or for some other kind of life tips. Hey! Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's why I'm in Zimbabwe. You are asking, what am I doing here? I have found it in the Bible. I found it in the Bible. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things what I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always when you are preaching my gospel. Hallelujah. I have commanded you even to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you. That is when God is with you. This is why I wrote this book, 120 Reasons Why You Should Be a Soul Winner. You see, it is one of the only topics that you can have 100 reasons. More than 120 reasons why you should do this thing. This is what he said, I will be with you. That is why he is not with us. That is why he is not with us. He is not with all our nonsense talking. Big whatever. Look, there is nothing. It's just air. It's just, just fake ministries, fake churches, fake pastors. A pastor with a big car and nobody else is prospering around you. Ah, big suit, big looking church, big looking cars, and there is nothing, no church members. The church is empty, small churches, little groups with one man of God doing half politics, half business, and half church. Ah. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2, it says, by strength shall no man prevail. Your own strength cannot make you prevail. You need the power of God and the help of God. And if you want the power of God and the help of God, you need to come back to the Bible and see what he told us to do and do it. Stop playing games with the church. You are spoiling the church. You are spoiling the church. Yes. And you know, I can say it because I have one of the largest ministries in the world. Oh, yes. One of the largest. I can say it. I can say what I'm saying. Yeah. If you have church, show it. Bring your picture. Let's see. Bring a picture of your church. Let's see. I have it. I have it behind me. My books. I have one of the largest book ministry up today on earth. These books you see, I have almost 50 million published. Yes, I'm not looking for anything. Oh yes, crusades, we have one of the largest crusades in the whole Africa. And who is even doing the crusade? Not even largest compared with who? Who is even doing a crusade? Who is even doing a crusade? Bible school, we have one of the largest, best Bible schools. Go on the website and see. Anakazo Bible School. Yeah. As I can tell you, forget about all these things that are not from the Bible. Don't be impressed. I've missed money, whatever, and all these things. It's not real. I'm telling you. All these people, they don't have anything. If they have it, they should show it by building the church and preaching the word of God. You know, when you go home, I'll give you some homework. Go and look for a group called the Sons of Zadok. In Ezekiel 44, he says, when all Israel went astray, the sons of Zadok did not go astray. You must become sons of Zadok so that even when the whole church goes astray, you don't go astray. You don't have to go astray, even if the whole church has gone astray. There's no need for you to go astray. Bible says, when all of Israel went astray, the sons of Zadok did not. And he says, therefore they shall have a place near me for all eternity. Yes. Because they did not go astray when the whole of Israel went astray. Go and look for it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You must be a soul winner. I'm preaching from my book here. Tell them 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. If I 120 reasons, do you know when I will finish 120 reasons? It will be I'll finish by Monday. If I'm here with you from morning to evening, I'll finish on Monday next week. Each reason is enough to keep us here for 1 hour. You must be a soul winner because we are called. Many are called. Many are called. Few are chosen. You think one person is called? You think I'm the only one called? It can never be possible. As long as the Bible says many are called, if it looks as if I'm one person called, then there's something wrong somewhere seriously, because he said many are called. A sickness is somewhere. William Booth, you know, what's the church? Salvation Army. This is what he said. And I quote, he says, not called. Did you say you were not called? You should rather say, we did not hear the call. Don't say you are not called. You are not called. Nonsense. Nonsense. You said, hey, you are not called. Stupid man. Fool. That's William Booth. Famous William Booth. When he died, more than 40,000 people attended his funeral, including the Queen of England. A man who thought about others. Salvation. Salvation. William Booth had a vision. In that vision, he saw an island. In the island, there were people in the sea, drowning. It was dark and the waves were going up and the people were crying for help. And there were people on the island who had been saved and were standing on the land. And one or two of them would go out and try to rescue some of the people that were perishing in the water. And when they brought them on the land, as soon as they came on the land, and they were saved, they started to eat, drink, and have parties as people were drowning all around them. It's like they didn't care about the people who were in the water anymore. And the whole island was full of people having parties with people drowning and dying all around the little island. Nobody cared. As soon as you are saved, you come on board and start having party, drinking, as if you can't see that just here is the person who's drowning, screaming where you were a few minutes ago. That's the vision of William Booth. One of the three great visions that he had. Look at us. We are having parties, saying we are Christians, doing whatever. That's why there's no help from God. That's why we are scrounging. You see a crowd like yesterday's crowd at the crusade. When we take the offering, $300. Three. Yeah, 300. Nobody has money. Yeah. You see the whole place like that. $300, $200 and something. All these people. Nothing. God should help us, truly. I'll read what William Booth said. He said, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go and stand by the gates of hell, you Christians, and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants not to come here. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Look around and then you look at him in the face and tell him, I'm not called. After he has done so much for you. Isabel Kuhn, a missionary to China and Thailand. She said, I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all unreached tribes of the earth. It is not God who does not call. It is man who does not respond. Number three. I'm talking about 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. This book. One of my best books. Number three, you must be a soul winner because you were created to carry out the work of soul winning. Ephesians 2 verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know why things don't work? Things don't work because they are not being used for what they were made for. If I take my car to the sea and I say I'm going to use it as a ship or as a boat, do you think I'm going to be happy with my boat? Because the car was not made for swimming. If I bring an aeroplane to the roads of Mashvingo, do you think it's going to be happy as it tries to walk on the street here? Your joy in this life is directly connected to you doing what you were created to do. What was it created for? What were you made for? That is what your purpose of what you were made for is when things start to work in your life. Things don't work because you what it's made for, it's not what it's being used for. What the church is for, it's not what it is doing. That's not, church is not meant to just be a place for funerals. Church is not just meant to be a place for weddings. Church is not just meant to be a place for gathering on social occasion, just whatever. Church, there is a purpose. And when you don't use the car for driving, you use it for water, or you try to fly with a car, it doesn't, you are going to have such pain. Listen, the Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. When you don't do those good works, you'll never do well in your life. You'll always be praying for money. And you always start preaching about money. You always come and say, today is a day of abundant life. Supernatural abundance without limits. You always have fantastic messages on money. Financial acceleration. Overtaking financially. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should have a lot of money, isn't it? Ah, you see, you've changed the whole thing. It's not the reason. That's why you are poor. That's why you are not having the blessing, the money that you need. That's not the reason. God didn't bring us to get money. That's why we are not here to sell things and to make money from you. We are not coming to get anything from you. That is why the blessing is absent. The whole law and prophets hang on your loving and obeying God. All the laws and the prophets, prophecies and blessings and promises hang on you loving him and following what he says. So winning. Losing, suffering, sacrificing. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. What I say, you do. Take up your cross. Pastors don't preach, take up your cross. We don't even sing. When you hear the songs Christians sing today, you hear them say, oh wow, yeah, amen, we're going to make it. Oh yeah, you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, you can make it. Hey, Jesus. They just mentioned Jesus one in the middle of the song. You can't tell what they are singing anymore. Hey! Rarely do we compose like song like, take up your cross, follow Jesus.
Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed
to say that you know him.
Count the cost.
Count the cost and take up your cross. Follow him. Oh yeah. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross, oh, every day, and don't be ashamed. Say that you know him.
Mm.
Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow him.
Wow. Oh. Amen. Amen. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:18. What does it say?
1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Foolishness.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Preaching of the cross is nonsense.
Wow.
To people who don't know God. You tell people loose. One day I went in a Christian publishing organization. The manager looked at my book and said, this is the worst title you can ever give to a Christian book. Why should you give such a title to the book? Nobody will buy it. You see, because I am not trying to sell books. I'm trying to preach the word of God, not to make profit or let a lot of people buy it. That is the difference. Jesus said, if you lose my life, if you lose the life of my, you will gain it. Is it not what Jesus said? Yes. If you try to keep it, you will lose it. Jesus said, the Bible says in Philippians 1, we are not only called to believe in him, but also to suffer. Doctor, we are called not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. Yes. And the Bible says, take up your cross, follow me, and follow me to where? To death. Nobody is prepared to die.
Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
To suffer.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 29.
For his sake. We are not only called to believe. After this conference, I'm going to give some of you here an opportunity to come to Bible school in Ghana. I'm going to give you a scholarship. Yes. For some people who want to come to Ghana to Bible school. Yes. Very important. Give you the opportunity. Pay the price. Pay the price. Study. Humble yourself. Become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called us not only to enjoy and believe, but also to suffer, to go through certain things. It's part of our calling. It's part of Christianity. You can't throw it out. The preaching of sacrifice is where power is. Even power for finances comes from the preaching of sacrifice. Look at our brothers who have other religions. Some of them are into suicide bombing. You would have thought that as they kill themselves and they do these things, people will not follow that religion. No, it releases more power. Sacrifice always releases power. People look and say, if you can die for this, then it must be something very great. And more people are joining all the time. Whereas Christians don't want to suffer, don't want to die, don't want to go anywhere dangerous, anywhere. So, where are you going there? Somebody asked me, were you afraid to come to Zimbabwe? I said, afraid of what? Afraid of what? Why will I be afraid to come to Zimbabwe? You see, people feel you must only go to London. You must go to Paris. You must go to America. You must go. What type of Christians have been created? One pastor was prophesying about missions. And the anointing came on him and he started to prophesy. Shadaki Barobalasaba, you are going to be my missionary in Copenhagen. That is, Copenhagen is which country? Denmark. Yeah. And the brother said, amen. He was surprised. Amen. And he prophesied, Shani Kabarala, you're going to be the missionary in California. Pastor lifted his hand. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be the missionary in New York City. Pastor lifted his hand. You're going to be the missionary in Paris, in France.
Hallelujah.
Pastor said, I don't speak French, but let the will of God be done. Sheba kabaranda la bala. Then he pointed to another pastor. He said, you are going to be the missionary in Togo. And the pastor said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every curse and every witchcraft power that is coming against my life. In the name of Jesus. That is how pastors have become powerless. No one wants to pay a price. That is why other religions are taking over. And it will come to Zimbabwe too if you joke with your Christianity here. It will come here too. One day you will not say we are 90% Christian. You will say 10%. Look, I went to a Sierra Leone. It's only 10% Christian now. Sierra Leone. 10%. Yeah, the rest is something else. Hey, it was not like that. I went to a town in Nigeria. It was the headquarters of the Baptist Church. It's now less than 10% Christian. Everything. You see, if you sit down and throw away the power out of the church, you are throwing away the life and the power of the gospel. I tell you. And you are just opening the door for other religions and other things to come and take over. Yeah. Suffering, sacrificing. This is more powerful. I tell you, I get more power released for everything by preaching about this. Yes. Oh, yes. Because this is the element that is needed. When you are a young man, you want to serve God. This is the element. When God called me, I was in medical school. In fact, I was even in secondary school. And I went in medical school, becoming a doctor. As soon as I finished, and I practiced for 1 year, then that was it. I was having my quiet time, and the Holy Spirit said to me, give thyself wholly to these things. Give yourself wholly. Give thyself, yes, everything. God said, give everything. Stop anything and everything. Only do ministry. From that day till today, that is all I do. I don't do business. I don't say nothing. There's nothing about me, business. No profit, nothing. I don't like it. Only God and His work. I am seeing more blessing than anybody who you can even imagine who is trying to make money. Oh yes. Give thyself wholly. Wholly. And I give my wholly. My whole life is God, church, work, prayer, crusade, winning souls, book, whatever. This is it. Give thyself wholly. I threw away my stethoscope. I threw away everything, my school, everything. I said, this is it. I am 100% for God and His work from that day till today. That's why we have nothing. We are not prepared to sacrifice anything again. It's what I will get. That's all our mind is. And no wonder there is no power. One day when my wife, you know, was not yet married. Thank you, sir. I was not yet married to my wife, but I visited her that time. She was staying with her friend. And when I opened the gate, there was a dog. Her friend's father had a dog. The dog was something like a baby cow. Like it was huge. When I saw it, I ran away. And she laughed. She said, no, don't worry. This one is powerless. It's nothing. I said, why do you say it's powerless? Look at the huge. She said, no. It's castrated. It's, you see, the small element which have the power, they've cut off the balls. That small thing, you've removed it. It's big with no power. That's how the church has become. Big, no power. No power even to stop having sex with somebody you shouldn't have sex with. That's why if we check here, you see there are a lot of fornicators here. Yes. Just look straight. Don't turn around. Nobody will know that it's you. I'm talking. Just keep looking straight. Keep looking straight, please. Don't turn to the left or the right. If you look to the left or right, somebody will know that it is you I'm talking about. We cannot stop, even control ourselves at no power. There's no power. Nothing. There's no control. Nothing. Because the preaching of sacrifice is gone out. So the church looks big but powerless, like that dog. Cannot bark. Cannot bite. Only big, but no power. Because we have taken away something. The cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Preaching of the cross is power. That's the power. When someone says, I give my life to God, I don't care what happens. If I die, I die. That's power. That's where the power comes. You take it out, there's no power. We are just school teachers. That's why people have become motivational teachers. Powerless motivational preachers. Only encouraging people. Oh, tomorrow is going to be okay. At the end of the night comes the day. Oh, the light is coming. Oh, yes, it's going to be okay. Everything is all going to be all right. At the end of it all, there will be a light. You know, take heart. You know, God is good. Joy comes in the morning. Everything is going to be okay. What is that? What is that? Hey. Now, there are rooms in every house. This story. One day Jesus came to somebody's house. And the man said, you are welcome. So Jesus was given a room downstairs. And he stayed in the room. And the next day, the devil came knocking at the door. And the devil came, and the owner of the house came in. And the devil beat the man very well. And after the devil left, he went to ask Jesus. Ah, Jesus, you were in the house. You didn't save me. Jesus said, look, you gave me this room. I've stayed there nicely. You didn't ask me to go anywhere else. So the man said, okay, I'm going to give you the whole of upstairs. So there are 5 rooms upstairs. So he took Jesus upstairs. And Jesus was in the 5 rooms. The next day, Satan came again. He opened the door. When he opened the door, the devil started karate. It was not easy for the man. They beat him well, well. And he came to see Jesus again, crying. Lord Jesus, why you didn't come to save me? Jesus said, you said I should stay upstairs. And I've stayed in the room. When they were beating you, I heard it. But, you know, a gentleman, you cannot come and go to places you have not been asked to go. So then the man said, no. Now, have the whole house. Have every room, every key, every door. Jesus said, okay, no problem. The next day, the devil came again. Now, Jesus had got access to everywhere. Jesus told him, let me answer the door. Wow. When he opened the door and Satan saw it was not the man, it was Jesus. Jesus was expert at cat's paws, snake fist, claws. Hey! He beat the devil properly. They had to call ambulance to come and carry the devil away. Hallelujah. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to explain is that every house has a number of rooms. And you may be in a room, or you may be allowed into a room, or you may not be given access to a room. And depending on how much you are given access to, you experience certain things. Now, in the kingdom, we also have rooms with keys. Doctor, can you read for me Matthew 16, please? Verse 18, I believe it is. Quickly.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
The keys, keys. We are in a kingdom that has keys. Everybody say keys.
Keys.
That means we are in a kingdom that has rooms. Keys open doors and doors open rooms.
Teaching.
I will give you the what?
I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Keys of the kingdom of heaven.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
When you have the keys, you have power that you never imagined that you would have.
Come on. Come on.
How many know that there are treasures in certain rooms? You know, some people keep money in some rooms.
And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Wow. Everybody say keys.
Keys.
Rooms.
Rooms.
Remember when Elijah was going, God told him, go and anoint Elisha. He shall be prophet in thy room. So there is a room for being a prophet, a room for church growth, a room for evangelism, a room for prosperity. There are anointings and keys that open you to rooms. Now, what are the keys? I would like, how many would like to have a key to some of these rooms? The room of church growth, the room of church planting, the room of leadership. Good leadership. Good leadership. The art of leadership. This is one of the best books. Look at me, an African. I've never lived outside Africa my whole life since I was born. Never. I've never been to school outside. Only in Ghana. Yes. You can hear from my accent that I'm not American. If I want to... Glory to God. God is going to bless you tonight. God's power is going to move and you're going to see the supernatural power, the glory of God. And God is going to, if I was American, that is how I would be talking. You get what I'm saying? Yes, I don't come from America. I'm not from any of those places. We need keys to enter these places. It's not a key to America. It's a key to the doors and the rooms in the kingdom. Brother, read Luke 11 and verse 52. Luke 11 verse 52.
Luke chapter 11 verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers.
Woe unto you lawyers.
For ye have taken away the key of knowledge.
You have done what?
Taken away.
The key of knowledge.
Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered.
Those that were entering in, you hindered. So you have taken away the key of knowledge.
Knowledge.
So knowledge is a key. Knowledge is what? A key. Knowledge is a key. Knowledge is a key that you need. That is why we came along with these wonderful books that are going to be the knowledge. And you will notice that the topics are very unusual, but they are very related to your life and your ministry. Practically. As I've been introducing them to you. And these books are going to be made available to you when we close, because it's the key of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge. And in this is a set of 40 books in the library. Yeah, because how long is this conference going to be here in Majvingo? When will we ever come back again? What a blessing. One of these books costs about $10. So some are 15, but if you put them all together, it's about $450. For one of this, for the library. Will you not clap? Is it not very, this book can cost $25. But as a special gift for those of us here, because I want you to have the key of knowledge. We are not doing business here. You can go and check. This book has sold in Harvest House in Bulawayo, isn't it? That's the price. But as a special gift for you, I'm going to give this whole thing, if we have enough in stock, for just $55 for you. This entire set of books. Keys of knowledge. I thought you would have been shouting, jumping, screaming, laughing, babbling all over the place. 40 books. for 50. That means one book is about $1. Yes. Why? Because we are not doing business. Those who are doing business didn't come here today. We are not doing business. We are not doing business here. We are doing ministry. Yes. The key of knowledge is a master key. Now, Proverbs 24, verse 3, 4, and 5. Proverbs 24. Look at it. Look at it.
Proverbs 24, verse 3. Mm. Through wisdom.
Through what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom
is a house built.
Is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
By understanding, it is established.
Verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength.
A man of knowledge increases strength. So as you are receiving knowledge, you are becoming stronger. A wise man is strong. A wise man is strong. And a man of knowledge increases strength. A wise man is strong. Yay! A man of knowledge increases strength. You are getting stronger when you have more knowledge. When you have less knowledge, you don't have strength. Strength for crusades. Strength for preaching. Strength for ministry. Strength for the things that God has for you. You don't have that strength. You need that strength. You need that wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14, the Bible talks about a wise man who by his wisdom delivered the city. You bring deliverance to an entire city through the wisdom God gives you. If you can only get the wisdom through you, entire groups and cities will be brought to deliverance. Through your ministry. Through your ministry. He says, through your ministry, I tell you. He said, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. There was a poor wise man in the city. And he, by the wisdom that he had, delivered the whole city. God is going to use you to deliver a lot of people by wisdom. Proverbs 21:22 says, a wise man scaleth the city and bringeth down the strength of the confidence thereof. He brings down the confidence. He scaled the city of the mighty. You will climb and occupy mighty cities for God through wisdom. Now, when we talk about wisdom, we talk about how to defend and build the church. You have to fight this group of people. Those who leave you. Those who leave you. People leave churches and start new churches nearby and break up your church.
That's it. Yes.
If you don't have the wisdom to deal with them. Bible says, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty. You must scale the city of the mighty and bring down the strength of the confidence thereof. A wise man. Those who leave you. I remember one time there was a church. Their senior pastor traveled. And then the head usher of the church, the assistant pastor, when the senior pastor traveled, he printed out a leaflet. Our pastor has crocodile skin shoes. His house costs this. His car is this, is that, and he printed and stood at the church when people were coming in. An associate pastor, as your senior pastor has traveled, this is what he was doing, sharing flyers to the people. That the pastor has crocodile shoes, alligator skin shoes, and he has this money, his dad, he's cheating the church and so on, for people to leave the church. My friend was the head usher, assistant usher. he told me that he held the assistant pastor and escorted him out of the church. Yeah, he held him, said, out. And this pastor, who was sharing the litter, came back again the next Sunday. People were coming, was giving out. And then went about 200 meters down the road in London and started another church. And he thought that the leaflet he had shared to the people would convince all the members of the church that because the pastor was wearing crocodile shoes, alligator shoes, and other type of shoes, and the cost of his house is this and his car is this, they will all follow him. But they didn't follow him. But some people followed him though. But not many. And after some time, the church wasn't working. He called the senior pastor and told me, it's not working. He said, yeah, I told you. You see, those who accuse you, very dangerous people in your church. You have accusers. Always accusing the pastor. Ah, one guy, I met one guy, he said that I know all my pastor's sermons. My pastor doesn't have many sermons. I know everything that he's preaching. You need to wipe out accusers from your church and your environment. Don't allow accusers to flourish in your environment. Don't allow even your wife to accuse you. Some people have accusatory wives. You cannot do anything in the church without receiving an accusation. And if you don't know how to silence an accusatory wife, your power in ministry is less. Your power in ministry is less. One time I had a group of pastors. I was having a meeting. We were about 25 or 30 pastors. And I said that all those who have accusatory wives to the left and all those who have normal wives to the right. Hey! So those with accusatory wives were on the left and those with normal wives were on the right. And when I look at them, I realize that those with accusatory wives, all of them, their churches were not working well. You see, because Revelation 12, verse 11, it says that, lo, strength, salvation, and power has come because the accuser of the brethren is cast down. So, in other words, weakness, powerlessness, lack of salvation and help from God comes to somebody when there's a lot of accusation. Read it.
Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now come salvation.
Salvation.
And strength.
Strength.
And the kingdom of our God.
Kingdom.
And the power of his Christ.
Power.
For the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
It's cast down.
Which accuseth them before our God day and night. Day and night.
Many years ago when I started the church, they accused me. They accused me too much. I became weak. All these verses was fulfilled in my life. Weakness, strength was not there, power. They said, number one, I'm not called. Number two, I don't know how to preach. Number three, I am a student. Number four, I am a medical student. And how can I combine medical school with being a pastor? Number five, they are not sure of my calling. Number six, when I'm preaching, I drink water. Because my mouth was very dry. And I tell you, I became more and more afraid. But they were talking about me all the time. And I became weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. One day, two things happened. One was a dream and one was from scriptures. One was a dream. In the dream, I was a boxer. I was wearing red shorts. My opponent was wearing blue shorts. And we were boxing like Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. Fighting. We fought. I was wet sweating. And suddenly I came out of the boxing match. And I woke up. I was lying on the floor on the bed. Sweating. Do you know who was the boxer? Do you know who was the other boxer? A lady who used to sing before I preach was a boxer. She was box. She was part of the people who were criticizing me, talking about me. I'm not called. I am a student. I don't know anything. I don't know how to preach. Why have I started a church? Da da da. Nya 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 nya. Then I had another scripture. I was reading the Bible and I saw this scripture. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. What does it say? Cast out the scorner. Read it.
Proverbs 22 verse 10.
Mm.
Cast out the scorner.
Cast it out.
And contention shall go out.
Mm.
Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Cast out the scorner. So I called a meeting and I called my assistant and all the people that were criticizing me. I knew when I called and said, you've been criticizing me. You talk about me. Even before I came to Mashbingo, there are some pastors who criticize me. You haven't seen me before, but you criticize me. Hey. But you see, sometimes you know when people criticize you. You don't even have to see them. So I said, you've been criticizing me. Every day you talk about me. You and this and this and this and that. So I said, from today, go out. What? I said, go out. Pardon? I said, leave this church from today. My assistant pastor. Cast out. Not with respect. Cast out. Cast with no respect. I said, leave the church. He said, oh, I don't have to leave. I will just not hold the microphone. I will not announce. I will not do this. I said, no. Cast out the scorner. And I cast him out of the church. From that day up till today, contention is gone out. Quarreling gone out. This was more than 25 years ago. The same people that are with me since then are the same people with me. More than 30 years, the same people. Yes, the same assistant on my right, on my left. Peace came to the church. Strength came to me because the accuser was no more. I became a stronger pastor because I threw away. Always when I see accusation, I go away. You know, when we were coming to Zimbabwe, they said, what are we coming to do? The day before we were coming, I canceled the crusade. I said, I'm not coming. Because there were so many questions. What are we coming to do? Why? I said, look, we will not come if it's a problem. We go somewhere else. We have so many places to go. Yeah. You don't have to go where people are accusing you. You have to cast out those who leave you, those who accuse you, those who are ignorant. I wrote a book for each one because they deserve a book. They deserve a book each. Those who are ignorant. You see, people sit in the church and they think it is easy. Some of you criticize as we have come to have a crusade here. Why don't you come to Ghana and have a crusade? Huh? Oh, you don't get it. If you are a man of God, why don't you come? You're criticizing me. You criticize miracles. Why don't you have miracles? Pray for the sick and let's see. Pray for somebody and let us see. You are ignorant and you are criticizing what you don't understand. Some of you criticize Nigerians who have come to Zimbabwe, some of them to start churches. You criticize, why don't you, Zimbabwe, go and start churches in Nigeria? I'll give you several towns. Kano, Kaduna, Lagos, Ibadan, Jos Plateau. Many cities, 180 million people, souls. Nigerians waiting for you. Instead of criticizing somebody, why don't you do something for God? Shame on you. Shame on your mouth. Shame on your mouth. Just look straight and don't turn to somebody. Nobody will know that it is you that I'm talking about. It is easy to criticize. All over the world, people have revolutions in countries. And you see them singing. Examina mina eh. Examina mina eh. Examina mina eh. Examina. We are taking over. We are not going to allow them to cheat us anymore. No one can cheat us again. Examina mina eh. Examina. And when they take over, what can they do? Nothing. They destroy everything. They cannot build anything. They cannot do everything. Collapses. Examina mina eh. Examina mina. These are those who are ignorant. They don't know anything. That's why you are singing. I tell you. Yeah. People sit in church and they criticize. Well, if you like, try and do it. Try and do it. You see that you cannot do it. You see that it's not as easy as it looks. I brought a book here. 40 books I'm giving you for $55. Try it and see how much you will sell one book for. Nothing less than $25 for one book. It is those who are ignorant. I tell you, you are ignorant. I wrote a book because you deserve a book only for you. And those who pretend. Yes, these are keys. You see, all these people, I've seen them. My book, I have many things that I know, but I don't write. Many topics I have, I'll never write a book on it. What I've seen practically, this is what I write. I've seen them. These people, I know all of them. I tell you, I've seen them one by one. And they are in every church. Those who pretend, they come to you and say, thank you, Pastor. But their heart is not with you. Judas, 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 Judas. Hey! Judas was walking with Jesus. And nobody suspected that Judas was against Jesus. Even the night before, John had to ask Jesus, who is it? Hey, there was no sign. You can't believe. There are some of you sitting here. You are not here to receive the word of God. You are here as a spy. You sit there looking as if you are a pastor, but you are a spy. What kind of person are you? What a shame. What a shame. Oh, you have joined with you. Jesus said it would have been better he was not born. You know, Jesus said something. He said, you know, he met a lot of bad people in his life. You remember the woman he caught fornicating and all? He didn't say anything bad about them. But for Judas, he said, it would have been better he was not born. Because of that thing that Jesus said, it would have been better he was not born. Anytime one of my church members, sometimes they get pregnant and they lose. Even just the day I was coming, one of my church members, she was pregnant, but she started bleeding. I just comforted, I put my arms around, I said, don't worry, my dear. Don't worry, my dear. Maybe it was Judas that was there and he's coming out. So that it's better that he's not born. You see what I'm saying? So don't just be comforted. Perhaps this is Judas, he's coming out. And there will be no problem. Hallelujah. Hey. Those who pretend. Those who forget. What has been done for you? You know, there are some church members, when they are leaving your church, they don't even say bye-bye. Yeah. They just go. Yeah. You visited them in their house. You prayed for them. You officiate their wedding. You help them in their crisis. When they are going, even bye-bye. Bye-bye. Pastor, I'm traveling to Harare. Bye-bye, Pastor. I'm going here. I've got a job in London. Or even when they are in America or London or wherever, they don't remember. He said, those who forget. Hebrews 6 verse 10. God is not unrighteous to forget. Forgetting is unrighteous. It is unrighteous to forget things. I tell you, it is wickedness. That's why I wrote a book for them. Wicked people forget what is done for you. Hey. and those who are dangerous sons. You brought them up. You appointed them as pastors. You laid hands on them. You helped them. They are your sons. But they don't remember. Some of you here are dangerous sons. You are total. It's not that the dangerous son is somewhere and you are here. You are the dangerous son I'm talking about. When they ask you, where did you come from? Which church? You can't even mention where you, maybe you came from Triumphant Global International Angelic Church. But you cannot even mention that church or that pastor because you have quarreled and there is a bad blood between you and where you came from. You are even fighting him over branches and fighting and quarreling with where you are from. Wicked son, Absalom. Absalom attacked David. Absalom took on David, King David. He said, I will kill you, my father. I will kill you. I will finish you. You should see some people, they stand in the pulpit. I will finish off this man. And they talk about people. And you can see who they are talking about. This is what happened to the sons of Noah. Instead of Ham, Shem, and Japheth to honor their father. It was only Shem and Japheth who honored their father. Ham went into his father's tent and saw that his father was naked, took photographs, put it in the newspapers. He's a dangerous, wicked son who has forgotten what was done for him. If his father had not built the ark, where will he be today? He would have died and drowned with the fishes. He would have been eaten by the fish in the sea. Sons who are dangerous, they never prosper. So when Noah woke up and he said, is this the one who made a fool of me? Look, never make a fool. Don't allow your father to be ashamed. Don't allow it. Don't allow your father to be ashamed or embarrassed. It's not a good thing. When Noah got up, he lifted his hand like this. He said, a servant of servants shall he be. He was demoted two levels. Now, let me ask you, a servant, does he usually build a house? Let's say this is the house and the outhouse, the servant is there. Does he usually build anything? What about the servant's servant? It's worse. That's the story of the black man. Everywhere. The whole continent of Africa, America, Australia, South America, anywhere where the sons of Ham are, the picture is inexplicable and uniform. There is no continent where our color doesn't lead to a certain servant of servant picture. Can you imagine if a servant of servants is a minister in charge of important things? Finances, money, banking, governing, leadership. Somebody who was selling dog chains on the road and is now in charge of the bank. Can it work? That picture is global. You must be careful of dishonoring fathers who. One word can finish you off. One word can finish you off. Just a word. One day I saw a father of a man of God. He was a spiritual father. He spoke a word and he said, he shall hang like Absalom. He shall hang like Absalom. within a few weeks, the person's life changed 100%. I can't even go into the details, but his words were, he shall hang like Absalom hung on a tree. He will be hung on a tree like that. But it was his son. You must be careful not to provoke fathers for them to speak words of curses. You must look for blessing. Blessings make you great. And you must all look for blessings. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Wow. Now, the last thing that I want to share with you is the anointing. And this is my most popular book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Very beautiful. When you read this book, you'll be happy. Loyalty and Disloyalty. Yeah. Now, what you need is the anointing. You see, I'm sharing with you keys. Everybody say, I'm receiving keys.
I'm receiving keys.
And what is the key going to help you to do? Open the doors. It's giving you knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 4:24 says, by wisdom a house is built. You build the house of God through wisdom. Now, what you need is the anointing, steps to the anointing. Many years ago, I was always looking for more steps. What step can I take to get to the anointing? What step can I take? What step? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'll become anointed. What steps can I take? Step, 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 step. Then I reach the anointing. What step can I take? This book shows you steps you can take. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you become anointed. Different types of steps that you can have. Because if I was not anointed, I could not. Pastor, sit down, please. No one else should get up and walk around when I'm preaching, okay? Nobody should stand when I'm, don't go, if you need to go out now, but don't walk about anymore, any more walking around, please. It's disturbing. Okay? Have some respect, please. If the president was here, you wouldn't be walking up and down. Is it not true? Yeah. So steps to the anointing. You take steps and you become powerful. And if I was not anointed, I could not be here. Power, it takes power to be here. And yesterday you saw power moving on the stage. Power, there's power. It's real power. If there's no power, we cannot be here. Yes. Now, how do you become anointed? God has anointed me on a number of occasions. Yes, on a number of occasions. Without that anointing, there is no way you can do anything for God. You will be just a school teacher. That's why Jesus told the disciples, don't even bother. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. Stay till the Holy Ghost comes on you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That is why Jesus Christ didn't preach, didn't teach, didn't do anything until he was anointed. He was known as a carpenter. Everybody knew him as a carpenter. That's why when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, everybody was shocked. Even his hometown, they rejected him. They said, are you not the one who will be making coffins? We've been buying coffins from you for so long. Because carpentry starts from around the age of 15. And Jesus was 30 when he became anointed. He was repairing wardrobes, roofs, furniture, doors for years. And suddenly, there was a change. What happened? The Holy Ghost came upon, the Bible says the dove descended on him. And he changed. And he became anointed. Amen. Anyone who is not anointed cannot do much for God. Yes. One day I was in a town called Suhum in 1988. I had a small church with a few members. All right? And One night, I decided to pray. And I was praying, and I was listening to preaching by a great man of God called Kenneth Hagin. And in the middle of the night, as I was preaching, I was kneeling down. And as I was kneeling down, at about 2 a.m., something jumped out of the tape and entered into my belly. Yeah. And then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, from today you can teach. This is what happened to me in 1988. From today you can teach. And then another voice, different from the first one, said, I will prove it to you. And he has been proving it to me all that time. And here I am standing in Masvingo in 2016, teaching with more than 50 million books published. Teaching with pastors in 30 languages. You see, a power came on me in that room in 1988. A power. They said, from today you can teach. From today. That's why we talk about catch the anointing. Catching the anointing. I became anointed. From today you can teach and preach. Even though I had a church, I was not anointed. You see, you can Peter and others, they preached, but they were not anointed. Later they became anointed. You shall receive power. So you can preach without anointing. That's why we have Bible schools. They come out with certificate. They preach without anointing. And if you are in an institution like a big church, maybe you are a Baptist or Assemblies of God or sometimes a big church, you can be appointed. You just be appointed and be rising through the ranks, but you are not anointed. Once you are in an institutional church, you should assume you are not anointed until proved otherwise. Because they just appoint you and you'll be rising. From when people get old and they die, then they have to appoint somebody. So since you've been there for a long time, they appoint you. But it doesn't mean you're anointed. You should assume you are not anointed until proved otherwise. Yes. That's why people sleep when they are listening. They are not even interested. They're not even interested. Get up, go out, come on the phone, go in and out all the time. Yeah, they're not even interested. It's like when I went to preach in a prison one day, I was preaching, and so people kept going, I was preaching about their life and salvation. They kept going out to fetch water, come, go, they are not even interested. You take pastors to pray, they just fall asleep. It's not of interest to them. Yes. It's true. True. So, Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2 says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. The Spirit did what? Entered me. The Spirit did what? Entered me. So the anointing entered me when he spoke to me. So I was listening to the preaching and the Spirit entered me. I was listening to preaching. I was praying and just listening to preach and the Spirit entered me. That's what happened to me. It's very biblical. Acts chapter 10 verse 44. Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Peter was preaching and the Holy Spirit fell. That's why we encourage people to listen to preaching. Many pastors say, you don't even listen to preaching at all. Like you don't hear preaching. There's nothing in your life that listens to preaching. You don't listen to preaching. Not at all. Not at all. That is why we came along with these materials. Where's the Makane? Here. Makane. It's called a Makane. A camp. God told me to put the preaching on this. 800 hours. As you listen. This is the best gift I can give ever to pastors. Yes. And this, I hear, costs $25. It's not free. Those who want will be able to get. As you listen, I always listen to, even this morning, I listen to preaching all the time. That's why I'm anointed. Faith comes by hearing. You see, hearing makes you have faith, and the faith makes you please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. You can never please God without hearing. You can never walk in your ministry without hearing, because we walk by faith, and that faith you walk by comes by hearing. You can never walk unless you hear. You can never live. The just shall live by his faith. You can never live unless you are hearing. That's why I grew up listening to preaching by Kenneth Hagin. That's how I learned how to be a Christian. As in secondary school, I learned it. It's my life. And I didn't know I had learned a habit more important. If you ask me, I shouldn't brush my teeth again till I die. Or I shouldn't listen to messages. I'll say, well, I won't brush my teeth. I'd rather listen to messages than brush my teeth. If I have to choose between listening to preaching and brushing, or even bathing, I'll just stand in the rain. That's all. But to take away this, the listening to preaching, when the Bible says, without faith, you cannot please God. And faith comes by hearing. That means you cannot please God without hearing. That's why I'm always interested when I see young people like this. Yeah, because young people, you see, you cannot bend an old tree. Some of the people here are too old to even listen to what I'm saying. But when I see young people say, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. But you can teach a young dog a lot of tricks. But your age depends on your heart. You can have premature aging where you are older than your age. Yes. I'm not as young as you may think. Yes. Not as young as you may think. I've been in this for years. Amen. Wow. So, hearing. We brought all this. But you see, I'm introducing to you because I want you to become the great salt of the earth that God has prophesied. Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill. That means you are going to be outstanding in the ministry. Yes, outstanding. That's your destiny. That's your destiny. And I'm giving you the keys to an outstanding destiny. I'm giving you the keys, wisdom. By wisdom, a house is builded. By wisdom. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom thou hast made them all. You make all your works through wisdom. So today, I've shared with you all these. Many other things. The use of laymen. Lycos. Humility. Yeah. Some of the people that you see standing around, they are lay people. They are not paid. Lycos means a layman. There are many people must work for God without being paid. They are not employees. They are not employees. That's why we can't do much, because everybody has to be paid. Any small thing somebody does, you have to pay him. Humility. If you ask some of the people the professions, you'll be surprised. And the person who is following, like this one, specialist. A lecturer of doctors. Somebody who lectured. That's what he's a full-time pastor. Ministry. Preaching, teaching, traveling. He's a bishop. He has a huge church with many other cathedrals and other buildings and churches. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you are not humble, you cannot do much for God. So today we are sharing with you all these wonderful keys. Keys of knowledge. Keys of wisdom. You must never be too old to receive. Yes, you must never become. Derek Prince started his ministry, he was over 40, 50. And he worked for God till he was much old. He did more for God in his old age. You must do more for God. Zimbabwe does not belong to anybody. If you joke today, you say 89% Christian, one day you'll be saying 8.9% Christian. You can't believe it. Yes, you won't believe it. You'll say 89, and one day you move the point 8.9. It happens. It has happened all over Africa. All over Africa. Yeah. Senegal, Mali, Burkina Faso, everywhere. Down. Less than 10%. Sierra Leone, Gambia, everywhere. Gambia has been declared an Islamic state. Yes. fully. So it's time for us to rise to do well. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you for your word today. Your guidance and your blessing. Bless us, Lord. Help us to fulfill your perfect will. We are grateful for your love, your patience, and your kindness to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sit down, please. Now, I believe that it is a blessing. Give me an envelope. Some of us have been blessed in this ministry. Amen. And I want to give you, as spiritual people, an opportunity to sow a seed. We are blessing you. We are giving to you. But if you are spiritual, you will also know that there is no prosperity without giving. And Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth. Yes. How many believe that you have received a lot? And all these books, we are virtually dishing. When we were in Victoria Falls, the chairman there said something. He said that, thank you for these books which you have given to us free. He says, I know, because he knew my books already. He has bought some. And he knows that, I know you have given it to us free. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in this pastor's conference to sow a seed before I take my seat. And I want you, either from yourself or your church or from whatever, plant a seed. $1,000, $500, $100, $10, $5, $20, $50. Do something from yourself, from your church. It will be a blessing to you. And I know that you'll be blessed. But if you don't want to give, don't give. Don't give. It wouldn't make much difference. But I'm giving you the opportunity because it's my spiritual duty to lead you to your blessing. Amen. So if you are here today and you can bring this offering tonight to the crusade, and you are saying, Bishop, we are going to buy, Mr. Evangelist, we are going to buy fuel for you, 10 liters, 100 liters, 50 liters. We love it. All that we asking, just sow a seed. You're blessed. It's free. We are busing people. Trucks are working. Buses take people. Nobody gives us any money for that. We are buying everything. We are saying, have an opportunity to sow a seed. That is only a Christian activity and it's a blessing. Amen. So if you are here, you would like to give, come for my envelope right now. You can bring it tonight, or if you have it here, fine. But try and prepare a good offering and bring it. Thank you. Doctor, help me to give out the envelope because a lot of people are. God bless you. You can give for yourself, your church, whatever. Amen. And all these materials are available for you. After we close, you can come, you can get, you'll be blessed. Amen. Father, thank you for all those that are giving. Bless their churches, bless their lives, bless their ministries, multiply their seeds sown. Let them never be in need. Whatever is a source of concern to them, let it turn around from today. In Jesus' name, satisfy them. We crush all harassment in their life by the name of Jesus Christ. And we release a harvest financially into their life. They will never be poor again. No one will ever call them men of hardship, men of loneliness, men of difficulty. They will be blessed, blessed in their giving in Jesus' mighty name. Receive the blessing and the help of God. Receive the blessing and the help of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you help Healing Jesus campaign, God helps you. God helps you. God helps you. Receive it one. Receive it two. Come, come out. Come more out. More. Faster so that we go faster. Tonight or this morning, if you have it right now, you can give. Let them come all the way out. Come this way. Come out. Let them come. Come, 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 come. More of you come. Yeah. Thank you. Please, and what you give must be worth more than the envelope, because the envelope is also costing something. You cannot give an offering that is less than the cost of the envelope, please. Come on, come on. One this way, quickly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, sow a seed. If you want to buy pet, you can go to the fuel station, use your card, pay for us 10 liters, 100 liters. We like it too. We prefer that even to the money. Sow a seed. As you are making the convoy go, God is going to give you a new car to your surprise with money to buy fuel every day. Amen. 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 What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now lift up your envelope. Let me pray over your envelopes. Father, thank you for blessing everybody who is giving a special seed today, tomorrow. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Wow.